Yes, Lord. We honor your name, Lord, this morning. We worship you. You are worth it to be praised, Lord. You are powerful and mighty, kind and loving, Lord. And yes, Lord, you are consuming fire. Thank you for your mercy to us, for revealing the mystery of the gospel to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to you, for showing us your love, and extending, Lord, that grace to us continually. Yes, Lord, your faithfulness is new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning, every day. And by your grace, Lord, we continue. Not only that, Lord, you have promised that the work that you have begun in us, Lord, you will fulfill. And Lord, we wait for that moment when the fullness of your glory will be revealed over the face of the earth. When everything, Lord, is going to be clear to every man and woman over the face of the earth. And as your word says, Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are God, that you are Lord, King of kings, Lord. May we worship you. May we be in the Spirit continually, Lord, seeking to experience your glory, the revelation of your power, Lord. May we grow in the understanding of who you are and who we are in you, Lord. Thank you. As we open your word, Lord, allow us to see your character, your will, your favor to us, Lord. And may we, Lord, strengthened by your wisdom, grow in the knowledge of who we are in you, in your powerful name, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the message that we have. Thank you for your Spirit convicting us, strengthening us, granting us the ability, Lord, to grow. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We pray for insight and wisdom this morning in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated to this morning. It's not tonight, it's this morning. Thank you, Melissa, and the worship guys here, the team. I want to, as you know, invite you to Revelation this morning, chapter 1, verse 1. How do you feel this morning about going to Revelation here? Excited? All right. Over the years, you know, it's been quite a few years, I remember Doug teaching through the Gospel of Luke. And it took quite a while. And then he went to Ephesians and I was ministering the Hispanic church and in the Hispanic ministry and in different areas. And I remember joining him as we finished Luke and we began Ephesians, another book. And then we went through Ephesians. It took a while. Then we went through Philippians. And then we went through 1 Peter. And through those letters, I was helping and teaching and just kind of growing in the challenging area of going through every book of the Bible and just saying, what is God telling us here? Sometimes you don't want to go through some passages of the Bible. How many of you know that? You know that? Sometimes there are difficult places in the Bible. You kind of glimpse through them or you just kind of go through them. And in the last 3 years, 2.5 years, as you know, we went through Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and praying and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? And just being challenged. And I'll share some of these things later on the message. But I said, Lord, where is this guiding us? Where is your Spirit guiding us through this? And I really felt the need and the challenge to share from Revelation. If you're visiting today, you may say, whoa, we're going through the book of Revelation here. But for you that know, I want to ask some question. When you read Revelation, when you study Revelation, what does that produce in your life? What does that bring to your mind and heart? Confusion? Fear? Some people may say that. Is it anxiety of the things that are going on? Or joy? Are you joyful to see what's going on over there? Is it worship, as some of the people in Revelation are worshiping the Lord and angels? and the elders in the throne of God. It said, you know, an excitement to share the good news, the urgency in your heart to be ready, to be faithful and prepared. I think the latter things here that I'm mentioning are the things that we need to grow in when we go through the teaching of the prophecies of Revelation. And as I look at this, I want to just one thing tell you. It's more probable today and maybe easy to imagine the things that are in this book to be taking place today than 2,000 years ago when it was written, or 1,900 years ago. I mean, we're going to look at some things today, but right off the bat, I want to tell you something. There are millions of soldiers that are mentioned in this book. How could that be possible when the population in the first century was so small, right? There are things here that are mentioned like a visible two witnesses in Jerusalem proclaiming the gospel and being killed. And the nations of the world rejoicing because they see that these two witnesses are killed, but they come back to life as everyone is looking. How can that be possible when there was no technology 2,000 years ago? And so we're going to look at a lot of aspects of how the book of Revelation really is easier to picture and to imagine today. I mean, if you look at the nation of Israel being established and formed in the last 70, 80 years, that's a miracle that makes this book, the book of Revelation, more plausible, more able for us to become a reality. Now, let's look in verse 1. Through 3, what the Bible says here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Then it says right there, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. One of the aspects that I want to bring up right from the beginning in this series is the importance of revelation producing transformation in our lives. We want to know what the Bible says, and we want to be informed and equipped. But let me remind you of this. Revelation is not meant to produce information only. It's meant to transform the way we live and we see the Bible. Amen? In every area of our life. And as I look at this, I want to tell you something. I am scared. Not scared of the book or of what I'm going to share. I'm scared that, you know, for many years, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when I went to see you in chapter 2, when I went to see you in Corinth, I decided to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. And I've dedicated my life to know more and more of the character of Christ and why He died on the cross for us in my years. But also Paul says right there in chapter 2, yet we impart wisdom to the mature. So in one hand, we want to know everything Christ has done for us. Amen? But in the other way, in the other hand, we want to grow in our knowledge of what is going to happen in the near future and how are we to be prepared for that moment. So revelation, yes, the revelation of what we have that Christ has established produces transformation, but also the revelation of the things that are to come produces in us that transformation and eagerness to be ready, to be prepared for the kingdom of God. Amen? Let me remind you something. We are not of this world. Amen? And so as I'm going through the chapters here and just reading and studying, one of the things that comes to my mind is this. My citizenship is not here in America. Amen? I had a Mexican citizenship and I now have an American citizenship. But let me tell you something. That's nothing compared to the citizenship of heaven. Amen? That's where we're going. And as I look at this, I think, Father, allow me to know that everything in this world is going to be shaken so that only the unshakable things will remain forever. And that's where we need to be preparing ourselves to go. Now, as I look at this right now, we're going to look at the name of the book right away. And the book, obviously, is Revelation. Literally, Apocalypse. And that word in the Greek, in the New Testament, comes 18 times throughout the New Testament. And it's a word that means disclose and reveal. Now, as I said and kind of alluded to, there is revelation that is already being given to us, and we've seen the completion of it. And yes, there is revelation of things that we haven't really seen, but we can look at them through the Word of God. For instance, in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, we see the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a mystery that has been revealed already to us and we have received. Look at this. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, so the gospel and the preaching of Christ strengthens us. It's a gospel that was hidden for ages, but is now revealed to us. Look what it says. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. So see, the gospel was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was revealed and given to us. And we are, in a way, receiving the fruits and the blessings of that revelation in our lives. Amen? That's part of how revelation is taking place in our life. But that is what we already have in Christ. Now, let's look at something in the future. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, I want to look at how the full revelation of all the riches of glory that we have in Christ have not been totally revealed yet. Look at this in verse 4. Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you, because the grace of God has been given to you in Christ Jesus. You have been enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. That's part of the revelation. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That disclosing aspect of Christ where he is going to be fully revealed. Every eye will see him. Amen? He is going to be known to the nations. He does not need to be vindicated, but he will come in person and they will see him. And they will well, the Bible says. Those who killed him and those who put him in the cross. So that's revelation. Revelation is something that gives us the ability to know what's coming. Now let me tell you something. When I look at this gospel that is being revealed, it is by the Spirit of God that is being revealed to us. But also, it is to those who have faith. And I speak of this a lot. There is a willful ignorance in many today in the world because they don't want to look at the gospel, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you even more. There is a willful ignorance inside the church because some of us don't want to look at the whole counsel of God. Or we are like, you know, that's confusing, or that's scary, or that really, that doesn't really give me excitement. You know, I camp on this area of the Bible. I mean, let's be honest. We need to be encouraged, motivated, and we need to discipline ourselves to go through the whole counsel of God for our lives. Amen? Because it is the inspired Word of God that is useful to reprove, to correct, to instruct, to build up in the discipline of God. Yes, there are places in the Bible that when I go, I wonder, Lord, is this really speaking to me today? Or you want me to use this for someone else? I'll use it for someone else, Father. You know? But I know God is talking to me through it. So that's why it is very important to go through this. Now, revelation is the unveiling of a mystery that is in the process of being revealed. This book, by the name and by what we find in it, is prophetic. It's futuristic. Yes, it had some fulfillment in the churches of the first century. I want to say that. But for the most part, when I read it and study it, and this is my humble view and interpretation of it, is futuristic as opposed to preterist or allegorical. Some people will say, and they have written, oh, all that stuff was already fulfilled in the first 4, 5, 6, 7 centuries of the history of the church. Some have said, oh, it is allegorical. It's just a symbolism of what really is going on and how we are to worship the Lord. No, we're going to look at some things that are meant to be taking place over the nations, over the governments, over the, you know, world. I mean, one world religion, one world order, one world government. Some of these things, you know, finances that are going to be taken control of by one person in particular or government. All these things are futuristic in that sense. So, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place, is something that is disclosed and reveals. What reveals? The things that are to come and to take place soon. And this is something imminent, not just something that is about to happen, but something that when it starts is going to take place very, very fast. Now, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Christ gave the revelation of the things to come, but it's not a chronological description in detail. You know, we're going to look at some things that God wants us to know, and I think we're going to look at some things that, as they are taking place, those that are on the earth, and if it is us at that time, we will see it. And that's what it meant. Is meant to bring wisdom and discernment, because Revelation is full of imagery and pictures that are difficult to interpret in some ways. But they give wisdom and they give discernment. One of the things that we see in that verse 1, it says, to show his servants the things that must soon take place. See, in a lot of the books of the Bible, things were written and they were given as commandments. There were some dreams of things that the prophets and the writers should have written. The apostles saw the life of Christ and they described it, they wrote it, narrated it for us. Now when we go to John, to Revelation, what John is looking at is symbols and images and illustrations in heaven and on earth. And he's in some ways trying to understand what he's watching, and God says, write what you see. Now, he uses words like something like this or like that or in the image of that. He's trying to understand what he sees. And God, inspiring John, is letting him use his own vocabulary, his own ability to write the things that he sees so that we may understand. It's something that in some ways God is still keeping under a mystery, but yet revealing it, not to everyone, to those who are looking for the things that are to come. Therefore, we need to study it. We need to discern. Christ told the Pharisees and the scribes, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have life, but it is them who give testimony of my life. See, they knew the word, but they couldn't connect the word with Christ. And that's the challenge for us today. Search the scriptures to know in the Spirit what God is revealing to us. Amen. And what he wants to reveal to us. I want you to know this. Sometimes I go over a passage over and over and over and over, and I get a glimpse of what the Bible says in some ways. But then later I'm studying, or I am praying, or I am challenged by some situation in my life, and I go to that passage, and all of a sudden God reveals what that passage means for me in that particular time. That is the inerrance and the fulfillment of the Word of God in our lives. So, in form and symbolism and purpose and meaning, the book of Revelation is beautiful beyond description. I want you to be excited about reading. In fact, I want to challenge you. Read ahead. One of the things that I want to do, I'm going to actually commit myself here, put my feet in the fire, is I'm going to send maybe the passage that we're going to be studying next, so that if you look at the announcement on Thursday or on the week, you may be reading ahead and say, okay, this is what we're going to be looking at. Because as I'm going through Revelation, the imagery, the symbols are so powerful and so full of meaning. In fact, I want to read a quote here from William Hendrickson, and in this book, More Than Conquerors, that I'm going through as I study here. He says something powerful that I thought, boy, this is just... He says, where in all literature do we find anything that excels the majestic description of the Son of Man walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands? which are the church, or the vivid portrayal of the Christ, faithful and true, going forth into victory, seated upon a white horse, arrayed with the garment sprinkled with blood, followed by the armies of heaven. Where again do we find a sharper contrast than that between the doom of Babylon on the one hand and the joy of Jerusalem, the golden, on the other? And where are the throne set in heaven and the blessedness of heavenly life depicted in a manner more serenely simple yet beautiful in its very simplicity? What a wealth of comfort. What an insight into the future. Above all, what an unveiling of the love of God are contained in the works of this prophetic book, the book of Revelation. And so as you look at it, picture yourself there. Picture the character, the grace, the love of God. The details may be difficult, but the message is unmistakable. The few books in the Bible have affected people more dramatically than Revelation. How many of you know that? I mean, we were singing and worshiping the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Out of the book of Revelation. Awestruck wonder, you know, the power of Jesus Christ. Positively, this book has inspired worship, hymns, sermons, evangelism, the urgency to preach, insight and discernment, and overall spiritual growth, which is very vital and important for us. Now, yes, there are some things that are negative out of Revelation. People have sensationalism and divisions and social and religious upheavals. If you're here this morning and you think, boy, we're going extreme, now we're going to the book of Revelation. We hope the pastor doesn't set a day for Jesus Christ to come back here. No, we won't go to those extremes, obviously. But we want to know what the Bible says. And I want to go fast, you know. And in the beginning, I want to take some time because of the character of Christ and the church and all that. But I will be praying and asking the Lord for direction as we go through this. Because negatively, sometimes there are predictions and sects that are unbiblical. And I mean, you see some of the negative stuff in TV. If you Google the word apocalypse or revelation, you'll see how many TV series and movies and programs have come up. And they use one aspect of revelation. For the world, revelation is doom and gloom. Amen? But for us, it's the glory of Jesus Christ being revealed. Amen? For us, it is the completion of the kingdom of God and that being established in our midst. So that's why we need to be excited. Out of this idea, some people are very interested in studying the Bible and the book of Revelation. And others suggest it's not wise to try and be directed by it. One thing that I want to say is these things are going to take place. They will pass. So let's look at this book, the book of Revelation, as part of the whole counsel of God. Seeing the content of Revelation as something that we can see, but it's already predicted throughout the Old Testament and the rest of the books of the Bible. I mean, not in my English Bible, but I have a Spanish Bible that, you know, 3/4 of the page is what was written. And on the bottom here, I have dozens and dozens of references from the Old Testament and from the rest of the New Testament. Out of the 404 verses that are in Revelation, 380 fragments come directly from other places in the Bible. So in a way, Revelation brings all those verses that depict the end times, the revelation of the kingdom of God, the establishment of the kingdom of God, and put them there for us to know. Parts of Daniel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are here. And we're going to look at it here as we see these chapters, understanding God wants us to know. He wants us to get it all through this book together at the same time. So let's focus on the second thing here this morning, the author of the book. Who writes the book? And obviously you know this, is John the Apostle. He's known. He doesn't even use if he had a last name or his father's name or the name Apostle, but He says, John the Elder, later on he will say. So everybody knew who John the Elder was. And Irenaeus and Eusebius, they speak of John being in prison in the island of Patmos and writing letters to the churches and referring most likely to this book. But why is it important for us to understand that John is the author? Well, John is writing on behalf of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the author is really Jesus. It is God. And prophecies and predictions are only as reliable as the authority of their source. How many of you know that? You know that? I mean, if I stand up here this morning and I say, guys, you got any cash, any money? Invest it, because the market is going to be really good this year. Most of you will say, well, Pastor Samuel doesn't know anything about money. Don't listen to him, okay? He can't really add much, okay? You'll know that, okay? If I say, if you come to Grand County, you know, the first winters here, October, November, everybody says, oh, it's going to be a thick, heavy, cold winter. I mean, it's going to snow a lot. How many of you heard that every fall, right? And then the winter comes and it's just a normal winter, right? It snows, yes, like always. It's cold, like always. And sometimes it's windy, as always, yes. And then it gets warm in January and you're like, boy, it's 38, like a couple days ago, right? It's unpredictable, right? Some things like the weather and the market are unpredictable. This book is powerful because the authority of the book comes directly from Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why this book is important and reliable. Revelation 1:1-2 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. It's a revelation that provides predictions and events that are going to take place. He, Christ, or God, made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Boy, what a reputation. What a title for John. He bears witness of the word of God. He gave witness of the testimony of Jesus Christ in everything that he saw. He's reliable as an apostle of Jesus Christ, as a godly man. But not only that, Christ is revealing it directly to him. So therefore, the apostle John is writing it. He writes the events that are to take place at the climax of the Christian era. He is saying, this is how everything is going to end. And that's a victory for us, because we know the end from the beginning. Amen? He says, I, in Revelation 1:4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. It's coming directly from a faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced them. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Just in these four verses right here, you see verses from throughout the New Testament, how he's coming back. He made us priests. He saved us, redeemed us, freed us through the Spirit, made us alive, freed us from our sins, and gave us life to be seeking for a righteous kingdom. So John shared these things. And what is he predicting in this climax of the Christian era? That the church is coming to an end. The church is going to receive Jesus Christ and is going to be rewarded by the Father, by Christ. People of God is going to be fully redeemed and to be taken to be part of a kingdom, supernatural kingdom. God's glory will be fully revealed to everyone on the earth, and his righteousness will be displayed. I look at that idea, my heart trembles. Can you imagine that moment when everyone who refutes the gospel, and you got to understand, these people write, people make a living trying to deny the truth of the word of God. Amen. Can you imagine that moment when Christ appears and all of a sudden the whole foundation where they have been sitting on collapses completely? What a moment. What a tremendous moment. Now, Jesus Christ, as I said, is the author and the center of the book. He is the Almighty God who rules the events that are to take place, and He reveals them to John and therefore to us, His servants. Why do I say this, that Christ is the author but also the center? I'm going through it. I'm going back and forth in the book, and it's amazing to see the person of Jesus Christ here. The adoration, the worship, the worthiness of the Lord. Look at the themes in every chapter of the book of Revelation, how they present the glory of Christ as the message reveals that in chapter 1, Christ is the Almighty God who sovereignly rules the world with power. He's not just God. He's not just in the form of God. He's the Almighty God right there in verse 8. In chapter 2, Christ is the one who established, knows, and dwells in the church. 2 and 3. Now, I look at this and how important it is to know that Christ, He said, the church will be built on this rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. There is a promise right there. There are some that say, well, the church lost its way. There's no church in the world. When some sects and, you know, people come to my door trying to give me their flyers, one of the things that they try to tell me is, oh, the church died and it had to be established by someone else, right? I mean, that's the way of every sect. No, the church never died. Christ established the church. Amen? And in every era, every century, every nation, by the way, God has a remnant. How many of you know that? There is a remnant of people worshiping the Lord. Christ establishes it. He knows the church very well. And even though the church is not perfect, and at times it looks very bleak, Christ loves the church. He dwells there with the church. He's strengthening the church. That's chapter 2 and 3. Chapter 4, Christ is on the throne of heaven being worshipped. Being worshipped and adored. In chapter 5, He's the one who unleashes the completion of the ultimate plan of God. That's a beautiful chapter too. See, John is looking at this vision and he sees a scroll with seals. If you look at that scroll, that's probably what he was seeing on that dream, on that vision. And it's a long scroll that didn't have those rolls on the ends, probably. What it was is the end of the page stick to the rest of the roll, and there were seven seals right there. And John was crying because nobody could open the seals, break the seals to open the scroll and to see what was written in the scroll. Now, he saw that there were words outside and inside, but he's like, I want to know what's in there because that's very important. And he saw a Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was worthy because He died and He paid for our sins. And He's worthy to open the scroll. So Christ goes and breaks the first seal. And at that moment, He unleashes the great tribulation. He unleashes the climax of the things that are going to take place in the ultimate plan of God. The fullness of the kingdom of God. So that's chapter 5. Chapter 6 through 19, Christ is the one executing every judgment that takes place over the face of the earth. It's not an accident. I want you to know that. It's not the environment that is just tired of us throwing trash and the smoke, okay, in the sky. No. It is God sending His angels to unleash this judgment that is to come. Amen? That's what really is going to happen. And there's nothing the world will do or be able to do to stop the judgment that is to take place on the earth from chapter 16 through 19. Now in chapter 19, Christ is revealed as the Lord of Lords who comes back from heaven. Every eye will see Him. Every knee will bow down. Every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. And then in chapter 20, Christ establishes His kingdom for 1,000 years. We'll go to that. And then Christ dwells with these people for eternity in the last two chapters of the book. So as we look at this, and Christ is giving us this message, as we think of the author of the book and the importance of this book being written for us, let us remember this. We live in a time of ongoing evil in the world. We live in a time of persecution to the church. Maybe not in America. Yes, things are changing in America. You know, Barack Obama said back in 2010, we are no longer a Christian nation. Some conservative groups and Christians, we threw our hands to the air and got angry, right? But you know, we got to realize that based on the percentage and the people that goes to church on Sunday, we are not a Christian nation. Based on the government and the ideals and philosophies of these nations, we got to understand what the world sees from outside in America is not a vibrant Christian church that is sharing the gospel. You know that? And let's be honest. We are a nation that kills babies. We are a nation that models pornography, Playboy, you know, and movies that are horrible, decadency in moral and families and the way that we raise people. That's what a lot of people see from outside. Yes, there is a church within America, but as we look at the persecution in the rest of the world, we got to remember this. By some reason, for some reason, God has extended His mercy in America and we still have churches preaching the gospel. But let us remember this. We live in difficult times, spiritually speaking. Amen? 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 And as we look at God, there is a speculation about the end of the times. What is really going on? So this environment, even inside the church, brings fear, confusion, and despair in people. We as a church need direction. Amen? We need direction. I remember when I became a Christian 13, 14 years old of age, and how the Bible, in the midst of chaos and in the place where I grew up, my life was very challenged. My family was under difficulties. And the message of the gospel always gave hope of a kingdom to come. That's what people need today. Amen? I share some things on Wednesday. In fact, Dave, you were encouraging me to share some of it. And I may do that here soon. But mental illness and despair, depression, suicide in America is rampant. You know why? There is no hope in America. There is no hope in the young generation coming up. So we need to remember that the Word of God in Revelation assures us that, yes, this world is going down. There is no hope in this world. But Christ is victorious over sin, the world, and Satan. Amen? Sometimes I wake up and I look at the news and I think, Lord, why are you allowing these things to take place? Right? Why is this going on? No. Christ is victorious and He will rule overseeing the world and Satan. And He will come to finish those things. See, look at some verses here that speak to us about this powerful King who is going to get rid of sin. He's going to end the world as we know it. And He's going to send Satan into the lake of fire so that He will be ruling in righteousness. In Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He came already and He will come again. He is the Almighty. There is nothing that stops Him. Revelation 1:17-18. When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead. And He laid His right hand on me saying, fear not. Fear not, John. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. What a blessing. Amen? He has power over death. Yes, our bodies may be decaying, but we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The peoples and the kings and the governments of the world, they have their plans and they want to rule the world and they want to, you know, they just announced this week that they have come with the way to reverse aging. I thought, let's see how well that goes, right? Oh, we are, I don't know if you saw it, we are reversing aging. No, you're not. Let me tell you something. You will die. And you will be before the presence of the Lord. And let me tell you, the kingdom of this world, it will become the kingdom of our Lord and of Jesus Christ. And He shall reign over every idea and philosophy of this world. Revelation Chapter 14:14. Then I looked and behold a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. He's coming to judge. He's coming to that harvest. Revelation 19:15-16. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is worthy to be praised and worshiped continually. And in Revelation chapter 22 verse 3, no longer will there be anything accursed. Sin is gone. But the throne of God and the Lamb will be on it, and his servants will worship him. And this is going to be an amazing, beautiful moment. But it's going to last an eternity. I mean, we are bound to eternity because of this solar system. Remember this. He's the one who was and who is to come. Because in his clock, you know, there is no past and present and future. And we are going to be pulled of this. In fact, in Revelation it says, the time ceased to exist. We will see that later. The time, as we know it, ceased to exist. In other words, the clock stopped. And now is perfection and is beauty. Christ conquers over everything. Now in the same context, Revelation assures us that we who believe and live for Christ will be conquerors with Christ, and we will reign with Christ in victory. So the message of this book is about Christ conquering, but also us who believe in Him conquering. Look in Revelation 12, 10 and 11. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now that salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They have conquered him. Past tense right there. It is victory for the believer because of the blood of Christ and the word of the testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. We are going to reign with Christ and we will be conquerors in Him. He is the one who leads us. And in Revelation 26, chapter 20, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. So that is the idea of the author, and yes, the theme of the book. Now, out of those things comes the purpose of the book. The book of Revelation is meant to transform the way we live as we study. It's so powerful. I mean, even my prayer is different as I'm going through this, thinking and looking at this and saying, Lord, please, we want to be worthy of your call. The things that are going to happen are going to be challenging for the whole world. We don't want to be here when that takes place. Amen? We want to be rescued with Christ. But as we look at the Word, it's meant to redefine the way we see things, the way we live, finances, our marriage, school, our behavior, how we deal with people, the things that matter the most. Yes, it is something that blesses us. Look at Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed is the one. That word blessed is God's extended favor in your life for something that you are trusting in that comes from God. It's the extension of God's favor. It's happy, or it means being with favor and befitted by God, or blessed by the Lord, benefited by God. So it's an extension of God's blessing in your life as you trust in Him and you believe what He has said. So blessed is the man who reads, or the woman who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. I thought, well, if I can't explain it, we'll just read it, okay? How's that? All right? And you'll be blessed, okay? And then we'll go faster, maybe. We'll get to the end sooner. Now, this is the other thing about this prophecy. Blessed are the ones who hear. I mean, you know, you don't have to understand everything. By sitting here and listening, you're going to be blessed. Okay? What a blessing, what a promise. I want to tell you something. A few years ago, you know, I'm learning of the Word of God, and I became a Christian when I was 13, and my growth in the first 2 years, the curve was steep right away. But then there was a plateau in my spiritual life at about 16, 17 years old. I was going to church. I was wounded and hurt by my father, by the pastor of our church. There were some offenses there. I started sitting on the back, and beware of those things sometimes. And I was living, okay? I was just maintaining a life, basically. But I needed help, okay? I needed vitamins and growth, you know? And stagnant in the Word of God. And God uses things. God uses sometimes methods to bring us to Him. In 2004, my wife and I got married. And in 2005 and 2006, the call of God in our lives for ministry was evident. And I was challenged because I didn't know how to share and what to share. So I started studying the Bible for 5 years. And again, that curve became steep again. And I started really learning more of the Word of God. And Revelation was off ground for me. I wasn't studying that because I didn't really understand. And there were so many ideas. Now with internet, everybody's saying one thing. And I read this verse right here. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And I want to tell you what I did the first time that I started studying Revelation. I say, Lord, I'm gonna go through the book today. I remember one morning I had time and I was in a little retreat, a spiritual retreat, and I just opened the book and I started reading aloud. And sometimes I'm in the middle of the chapter and I forgot what I was reading. I go back to verse 1 and read it again and read it again. And I went through the whole book that morning 2 or 3 times. Several chapters at a time, just reading and then contemplating and then going back at it. And all of a sudden, my passion for this book, for the Word of God, grew. We are blessed when we read the Word of God. Amen? And we need to be focused as we do it, because there is a blessing here. Throughout its teaching, God reveals the future to the church in the world. There is not a clear detail of every aspect, but it prepares us for the future. It blesses our life. It extends the favor of God in our life, not only so that we understand it, but that we may fulfill and apply it in our life. Blessed is the one who guards, who hear, and those who keep or guard what is written in it. Keep it in your heart and in your mind and dwell in those things. So the book of Revelation communicates character, the character of God, the will and sovereign control of God in the time of the early church in the first century, but also the book of Revelation, as I said, is prophecy, predicting events that will occur at the time of the end and in the end of the age. So as we see it, it's preparing us. Now the application is always the same. It's always the same. It summons us to renew faithfulness to God in a corrupt world. That's the message for Ephesus, for the 7 churches in chapter 2 and 3. But it is also the message for us today. Grow. Grow. And as I look at this, the blessing for us will be this, as we go through this book, that we may serve God as He is to be served. Amen? As He ought to. That we may humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want to serve You as I need to, as I should, as I must, because You are God. You are Almighty. So the other thing about this purpose, the purpose of Revelation that transforms, is that it guarantees us that if we belong to His kingdom, just as Christ triumphs, we will triumph with Him. So it's an assurance of victory, it's hope, it's giving us the victory as we read it and saying, you will rule with Christ. So it is about establishing the kingdom of God in our hearts as the kingdom of God is going to be established over the face of the earth. So let me just finish here this morning with some questions. Are you ready? Are you ready? If Christ would come today, are you ready? If the first seal would be broke, are you ready? Have you been using your time wisely? Are you faithful to the Lord? Who are you following? As you look at these scriptures, Are you following the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Are you committed to Him? Who is in control of the events of the world as you see politics and COVID and chaos in the world, wars taking place and financial upheavals and social unrest in the nations? Who is governing and controlling the events of the world? What is really going on? What is really going on in the minds and hearts of people as they reject the Word of God, as they are completely lost in the entertainment of our world? Social media, people glued to their phones and just completely disconnected from reality of life. What must we be doing as Christians? Are we really seeking for that kingdom? Are we preaching about the kingdom? Are we searching for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that everything else will be added? What is our call? If you're a Christian and you believe in this book, in the Bible, what is your call? If you go to school, to college, if you are a father or a mother, have you taken your family through this book? Let's take a challenge this year and go through this. Read it. Study it. Apply it in your life by being faithful to God rather than knowing every aspect of the end time. Say, Lord, transform me, because His revelation produces transformation. I want to finish with this quote of Chuck Swindoll. And he says this: the purpose of revelation is to change us, not simply to inform us. That's where the idea comes. Transformation rather than information. It is meant to reveal something that changes the way we live. Amen? So, read ahead. Study it. Let the Lord work in your life. Learn from His character. See God's character and see yours in the book. Let's pray to the Lord this morning. Father, we worship You. The blessing of Your Word. Lord, we have the whole counsel. You gave, Lord, to Moses the Torah, the law. And yes, You gave to the nation of Israel the history of the judges and the kings and the prophets, Lord. But to us, You have given us the gospel. And not only the gospel, You have given us, Lord, the completion of the story. And the Holy Spirit, Lord, that leads us and guides us. Oh, Lord, open our minds and hearts to You. May we be faithful, Lord, as we study Your Word. May we apply it in our lives. May we, Lord, be passionate as we share with others. May Your Spirit, Lord, give us that boldness, but also that discernment and compassion that we need. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word this morning. Guide us, direct us throughout our week, Lord, as we go from this place. And Lord, thank You for Your blessing in our lives today. Thank You, Lord, for encouraging us and giving us hope. In Your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and worship the Lord this morning.